to the Gospel of John in chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10. The last time we did several ads like that in the USA Today was at an election. But this election tops them all. This election is the election. From here on, you're either going to live or die, one way or the other. We're either going to stay alive for a little longer, or we're going to die. Have to, one way or the other. See what happens. But, so in the light of that, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. So perhaps we can have a word of prayer and God help us. Spirit of God, we thank you for your presence, your word. Honor our Lord. Father, be honored in all of it. We're looking to you, God. We want to have that kind of stimulus, that kind of exercise and experience that produces, educates, and brings wonderful life to the forefront, that we can understand our wonderful privilege on planet Earth in these special days. We who are here, not others who were, they're gone. Not others who will be, they aren't here. It's us. Us here and now. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the Gospel of John, as we're looking at it, God is presents himself in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And God presents himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's the Gospel of John is all about. To help us to believe that God actually is going to present himself in a most remarkable way. Now, so the whole issue now in the Gospel of John is to help us, last living apostle, at the end when there's no more Bible after him, no more. God has finished writing. And thus he brings us to the whole history of the world, sacred, secular, all in front of us, and God's wonderful grace and working in all of it. Now, so here in John chapter 10, as we proceeded, one of the statements made as they continued to interact with the Lord and try to figure him out and to handle him. And thus, chapter 10, verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly, free speech, frank, open, clear, no shadow, as simple, as clear as possible. Tell us plainly. Who are you? Are you really? And by the way, it's a first class condition. Since you are the Son, I'll read it that way. If thou art, since you are the Son, since you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Since you are, we acknowledge that you say you are. So we aren't questioning that. Tell us plainly. All right, again, chapter 11. Chapter 11, and our Lord is now going to say the word again. Only this time he's going to help the disciples. Chapter 11, verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them, the disciples, plainly, because they didn't, Lazarus sleeps and he had to say it as simple and clear as possible. Lazarus is dead. I'm telling you as simple, as factual, as quickly as possible. Lazarus is dead. Plain. Tell us plainly. So God, are you interested in telling us plainly? Absolutely. And that's the whole Gospel of John in particular is all about that. So now John chapter 12. And in the Gospel of John chapter 12, picking up, remember now, in the process. Lazarus, the great crowd has come out there. The crowd is going down. They had the Friday evening, etc. They had the supper and all of that, and doing that. And in the process of all of that, they have the supper, as we shared. And Lazarus is the guest. The 12 disciples are there. And Mary and Martha, it's their home. And Mary and Martha has poured out the ointment, as we shared together in verse 3 and 4, etc. Judas has reacted to it. And we shared all that together. Now, in the light of that, here's, and you got to remember now, it's the Passover. Right now is the Passover. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. So, 6 days. So here we are looking at the Passover, and here they are on the ninth day there, and having the supper, and all of that, and in the process, the Jewish people, millions of people, 2,700,000, Josephus, the historian, Jewish, counted, took the number that they had of sacrifices, 256,000 plus animals, and allowing 10, remember, family would have a lamb, each family would have a lamb that they bring, or a group. And so if you allowed 10 people, and then all the people that didn't were unable to have a lamb because of impurity and that. So all of them, and you do that, and what do you come out with? You come out with over 2.7 million people, plus. That's Judea and Galilee coming all together. Wow, all at once. So here's this huge crowd coming in. They haven't all arrived. They're coming in. And they're having, there's tents everywhere. There's little things everywhere. There's nowhere to go. It's the whole area. If you look down from a helicopter back then, you would see the big area. Just, it'd be like looking at a sports game, and they have a blimp or something, and they look down, and here's the stadium, and then here's cars all over the place. Only now, here's people. Now, so here they are, and they're there, and they're all excited. They're extra excited. Why is that? Jesus is there, and they know that, and that has been made amplified in what way? Lazarus has risen from the grave, and the word is all over the place. You can read how fast that would be. So the whole crowd is stirred up. And you have to get that sense of what's happening. Now, so now in chapter 12, and verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. They'd remember they're trying to kill Lazarus now. He's on the hit list. Verse 11, because that by reason of him, Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So Lazarus is stirring up the crowd. The very fact that he exists, and he's there in Bethany, just over the Mount of Olives up there, and the crowd is all excited. And so now, come the morning, on on the 10th, and remember now, the Lord is going to come. He's going to enter the city. He's going to enter the city in a most awesome way. Now, you've got to remember, when he's entering the city on this day, on the 10th, what are they doing? The priests are choosing the lamb of all the sacrifices. The priests are choosing the lamb that is going to identify to be crucified, representing the nation. And they choose the lamb on that day. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, is going to march in as none other. He is the lamb. They're busy choosing a lamb. And they're going to fail to understand he is the lamb. Wow. Now, hang on. So we'll take a look. Here he comes. The next day, much people, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. Now remember, the palm trees are there. Palm tree leaves are like fans. Think of having a fan. People have fans. Think of a fan, and they have fans. The palm, the big leaves. And they take the leaves right there. They've taken the leaves from the tree, as it were. And remember now, palm leaves, it's very, very big. So when Solomon built the temple, part of the blueprint was what? The walls. The walls were completely covered in this temple of Solomon with what? Palm trees, and cherubim. Palm trees and cherubim and flowers. The walls were carved. It was carved in the wall, palm trees and that. And cherubim. And you say, well, who ever saw a cherubim? No one ever saw a cherubim. What they did see, though, they did know, on top of the Ark of the Covenant were two cherubims on top of the mercy seat. And that they would know. They were designed, so they know. And God had them designed. Remember the whole blueprint for Solomon's temple. It isn't by an architect in New York. God gave the blueprint. Wow. So now, here they are, and they're coming. The palm trees, leaves are going down. Leaves are going down. And went forth to meet him, crying, Hosanna, save us. Save us now. Mean to save, come rescue us. Blessed and prosper us. Blessed be the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it was written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting upon an ass's colt. Now, having said that little bit, now John, each one of the apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they write, the last days of his life, last week, that's what the whole thing was about. It wasn't about his birth, it was about his death. So they're all writing. So John just has this section that we just looked at. Now, I'm going to go and look and get the other pieces a little bit so you can get the flavor of this, if you would. Over to the Gospel of Mark, and thus chapter 11. Mark and chapter 11. And you'll get the pieces, windows, the four windows to look through. You're going to see what you see. Chapter 11, Mark, verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. He sent them forth. Two disciples are sent forth to Bethphage. Now, remember that Bethphage is the house of figs. That's what it means, the house of figs. Keep that in mind. And in the process of that, if you were in Bethany and you looked a little south, you could see Bethphage. Not very far away. You could see it down the road. There is Bethphage. Hang on to that. So now, it's just a little hamlet over there. Now, and so the two disciples are sent there. Maybe Peter and John, maybe, in the light of a couple of things, maybe. Verse 2. And saith unto them, Go your way to the village over against you. As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, wherein never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Now, they have an assignment to go. There's a house. And there's going to be a colt. Now, I don't know which house, but they're going to go. There's obviously a colt there. And there's only, how many houses are there that would have a colt that has never been ridden? Never had a saddle on him, never used. Little colt. Mother, and then the little colt. Well, there it is. Wow. And so they're going to go walk there, and there's the colt, God, in your wonderful omniscience. You know everything. And so, God, here you go. And they go there. And They're going to, and they're given to loose him and to untie him and bring him. Verse 3. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye to that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. So God said, now if someone asks you why you're taking a colt that doesn't belong to you and untying him, and the mother donkey, the mother's going to follow it, and you're going to go take it, bring it to me. Now, God, so what are we going to do? God, you just say this to anyone that asks you, the Lord hath need of him. That ends the discussion. There is no more discussion. You just tell him, I need and want that donkey. And no one's going to say a word, ever. Now, that, wow. Now, what power? Absolutely. Now, remember now, keep in mind, if you would, if you were to go back in Genesis, you don't have to do that at the moment. If you go back in Genesis, and Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, among other things, what has God given when Adam and Eve started? What do they have? They had so much that God had given them. And one of which, Genesis 1:26, they were to have dominion over the fish, the birds, the animals, and every creeping things on the earth. They had the rule. All of it, dinosaurs, triceratopses, and rhinoceroses, and all of them were subject. That's the mob. We did all that, you know. How giant the animals were. And his little old man calling the shots. I have to tell you, I'm impressed. Wow. Now, so here's the Lord, and as if you went to read Psalm 8, and you read Psalm 8, what would you read? You'd read in Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You have crowned him with glory and honor, and given him dominion. Ah, Lord, you are the Son of Man, the perfect man, the man that we lost out on. And he demonstrates it over and over again. The donkey will come. You just tell him I need him. And no one's going to say a word. Not a word. And I'm going to ride on that donkey. Now remember, when I ride on the donkey, remember think of Joshua and our study of hawking the horses. Think of that. And they didn't have horses. Horses were out. The enemy had them, but not Israel. They were not to have horses. And so in the process here comes the Lord's going to come on that donkey. And the donkey, when you come on a donkey, you're coming in peace. You aren't there to make waves. You're coming in peace. Later, if he came on a horse, that's war. He's going to come on a horse, Revelation 19. He's going to come on a horse, a white horse, for war, W-A-R. But now he's coming for peace. They all knew that. Here he is riding on a donkey, coming into the city. Now, in the process, he goes over from Bethany down the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley into the city through the Eastern Gate into the city of Jerusalem. And he's going to go down. As he goes down now, a great multitude is there. We share together. And you can imagine, you can just anticipate crowds. What do crowds do? They go where the activity is. And the word is coming. Jesus is coming down from Bethany. And the word is out. They're all there anyway. And then more and more people come. Keep coming. And lots of people. Uh-huh. And as they come, here they come down the road. Now, in the process of that, as they're coming down the road, you need to remember and keep in mind that the Sanhedrin's out to get him, to kill him. The leadership is. And they're there, and he's coming very publicly, very plainly, and the crowd is in unanimous for him. Hang on, we'll put that two things together. Now, whosoever, so it isn't just, he's coming there. And what's he coming for? He's coming for the, on behalf of the will of God, not the will of the people, the will of God. That's why he's going. He must go to Jerusalem. That's where he's going. Now, how's he going to do? Here he's riding in very publicly, and the leaves are being thrown out ahead. The garments are there. The garments are put on top of him. Woolen garments are put on top of him from the disciples and that. They put their garment on top. That was a way of submission. They put their woolen, heavy garments over the donkey so they could sit on him, so he could sit on the on that. And that was submission. They were showing honor to him. Now, so as he enters the city, and he's coming there, and now they're all excited. But you know what? Don't hang on to all the excitement. Don't get caught up in the commotion. The commotion, a lot of commotion, but not much devotion. Wow. So now he's coming in. But I need to have, just for the sake of jumping ahead, over if you would please, to Mark chapter 15. Mark and chapter 15. Now as he comes in, remember now, and he's going to die on the cross. They don't understand that. They don't want to understand that. They want him there as king, on their terms, and that's what they're thinking of. And jumping ahead a little bit, think of what they're doing. They're saying, Hosanna, 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 and the hymns, Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 are hymns of praise. They all belong together. They're done at the feast, the Passover, the Pentecost, trumpets, tabernacles, I should say. All of these feasts is when they sang. So when they sang and ate, they would sing these wonderful hymns, psalms. Now in Psalm 118 is what's quoted. They're going to sing, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That's what they sing every year. They sing it. And here they are, here he comes, and they're shouting because it's all excited. All they've been seeing, now they've got something to shout about because here comes somebody riding on a donkey. And we know it's all over the place. Is he the Messiah? Is he? And they wanted him to be king, and come in and take over and be their king. And so they're all excited coming in. So as they come now, and they're singing all these hymns. So now God, but you know what? They're missing out. They aren't paying attention to what they're really saying. They're saying something, but it doesn't mean anything. Over to Mark 15, as we mentioned, picking up, please, in verse 8. Remember now, he's going to come in, and what are they going to say? He's going to get into the city. No one's going to touch him till the sixth day. No one's going to touch him. Very public. They want to kill him. They want to kill Lazarus. They never get Lazarus. Good God protects him. As you'll see at 6 o'clock, God protects him. Wow. So here we are, God, and thus, I'm interested. Verse 7, I'll read verse 15, 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him, that's Pilate, to do as Pilate had ever done unto them. Pilate has always accommodated the will of the people. Pilate was the governor. It appeased them. He didn't care what they do. They were Jewish, and they could do their Jewish stuff as they wished, and it was all right to do so. Wow. And the Romans didn't care. So they said, Pilate, do like you always do to us. Release unto us Barabbas, if you would. And thus, verse 9, but Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you King of the Jews? And all the way down, there's no question. Do you guys all know he's king? We're looking for him to be king. Here you Gentiles are. Do you know what's happening? Yeah, there's a fellow out there that says he's king of the Jews. That's what we know. Wow, very public. And now he's coming in. You couldn't do it more publicly. Plainly. Uh-huh, absolutely. Wow. Now, over if you would please to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. John chapter 18 may go directly to verse 39. Now, and Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had heard said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, John 18, 39, and saith unto them, I find no fault at all, but you have a custom that I should release unto you one of the But the Passover, will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? So you're going to saying it, the King of the Jews. Uh-huh. What are you going to put on top of the cross? King of the Jews. King of the Jews. King of the Jews. That's what he is. He's king. I acknowledge he's king. He said he's king. And remember, the Pilate's going to ask him a little later. He's going to ask him, are you who you are? And he said, yes, I am. And Pilate never argued with him. He said, I am who I am. Now, hang on to that, if you would. So all of this coming in, it, wonderful, hallelujah, hosanna, all of this stuff, wow, save us. But all the while what? He knew what was going to happen. And so they're all excited. Everyone's excited. Everyone's cheering, leaves, jumping, looking, sticking their head out in the crowd to see. Wow. As he comes into the city. Wow. Now, in the light of that, but they didn't see. Like the crowds do today across the world. They do all kinds of things, but they don't see. Wow. So now, having said that a little bit, Luke chapter 19. Luke in chapter 19. And in Luke chapter 19, by the way, we're tackling a very large big picture, if you would, and a big event, so many things, wow. It'll be like you're going to see it tonight in the hardness. So many things. Wow. Wow. And it's hard because I'm trying to give you a couple of things. I'm trying to look at it and get all excited with the crowd. The crowd's excited. And so many things going on. And I only can tell you a couple of things. But there's a whole lot of things going on. Wow. Let's look at a couple more. Wow. Here's Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, picking up in verse, remember now, they knew he was the Messiah. They recognized that he claimed to be the Messiah, and thus they had, as we looked in John 6 and that 15, they understood they would like him to be their king, no question. So Luke 19 verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they have seen. So all kinds of healings and miracles, signs and wonders and wow, feedings and everything. And they're all excited. Uh-huh, they are excited. Verse 38, saying, here's your Psalm 118. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So he's coming. The Prince of Peace is coming. He's coming into the city, and they're all excited. Wow. And they're going to honor. Now they're going to come. They're all excited. Now you can't say, well, they don't really know. Ah, but they, God, it, that you're coming in to be crucified. Uh-huh, I am. I want you to know, though, that they are not wrong in their excitement. I am the Prince of Peace. I come to bring peace. I'm come to make peace. And no question about that. And so they ought to be excited. They ought not to be sad. And by the way, they ought to be excited. They just don't understand. And the problem is, if they weren't excited, remember reading elsewhere. If they weren't excited, when the Pharisees and leaders said, "Stop the crowd making all that noise," he said, "No. If they don't make the noise, the stones in the ground will make it." Do you understand? Someone's going to say it. And they're saying it. They're not wrong. They don't understand, but they are excited. Nothing wrong with that. Now, and they're hang on to your, hold right finger right here, and go over with me, please, back over to, you know it, Zechariah. Because remember, they have all this stuff in their head, more or less. The Psalms 118, they certainly sing them from memory. Wow. Zechariah chapter 9, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9. And picking up if I can, in verse 9 directly, remember, the Spirit of God all the way leading into all of these things, our Lord's movement. Chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout prophetically, looking ahead, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. He's riding. That's how he's going to come. He's going to come that way. Wow, wow. And as he's coming, he's going to come. Luke chapter 19. As he's going to come, and you'll note, it's very public. There's no reason to be in ignorance in any of this. The excitement is very, very real and very, very known to everyone. All the people, everywhere, no matter where you were. Chapter 19, verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now we come to verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. When he beheld the city, and he wept over it. He wept over the city. He wept. He poured, he wept. It is the word we did when we did John 11 and 33 and that, when the Jews and the Mary were weeping, mourning. They were mourning the loss of Lazarus as the dead. And they were mourning, lamenting, wailing, weeping. Wow. It wasn't just a tear coming down, as we shared later in Luke 11 and John 11. Here he's weeping, lamenting. It's a dearth, a song, a funeral song, a funeral. The death of the city, the death of the people. Not a celebration of good, it's death, death. He wept. Audibly, wailing, weeping. Wow. Have you done that? I've had to do that 3 or 4 times in my journey. Wow. Wow. Now, in the light of that, he wept, and he wept over the city, and in loud, as we shared, lamentation, the funeral. And so here in chapter 19, verse 42, he's weeping. They're celebrating, he's weeping. They don't understand. Verse 42, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least at this day, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, a peace, Prince of Peace was marching into the city, Now they are hid from thine eyes. Did you know the day, and remember very quickly, hold your finger here, and go back over to Daniel chapter 9 again. Daniel chapter 9. And in Daniel chapter 9, you remember the 70 weeks and all of that, 490 years, of the prophecy of Daniel, moving all the way to the Lord's return and the tribulation. Daniel chapter 9, may I pick up right in the middle to get the essence of it quickly. Chapter 9 and verse 25. Now know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, here's Ezra and Nehemiah, that's what they're doing, to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince. From that time, count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, unto the Messiah the Prince, when he comes, shall be 7 weeks, 49 years, etc., and threescore, and 2 weeks, 483 years, again, weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Now, you're going to count, and after threescore and 2 weeks, shall the Messiah, be cut off. The verb cut off is to slaughter. He's going to be crucified. And if you count, here's the building, the command of Artaxerxes, etc., the building, and then you slide up, and there what? The day that he entered the city. He said, I told you way back then, I was coming into the city, and all you had to do was pay attention, and you had known. This is your day. This is your time, and you know it not. Wow. Now, so back over, if you would, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, in the darkening, it's not going to get any brighter, and over to, forget Luke, don't forget Luke, Luke's there. Go to John, if you would, the Gospel of John. John chapter 12. Now, in the process, John chapter 12, I'm looking now, if I can, at, remember now, he's coming into the city. Now, I'm interested in the accounting, John. You're going to tell me how were things going as he came into the city. John 12 and 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written, Zechariah and all of that, Daniel, and that they had done these things unto him. So everything that you had ever said, God, in the Old Testament, all of it was there. We just didn't catch it. We didn't put the pieces together. It wasn't that it wasn't there. We just didn't get it. Think of when they had the Pearl Harbor and all the different events over history where they had a clue of something was going to happen. And they didn't pay attention. A little clue, something's going to happen, and they weren't paying attention. They went right by them because they were so involved in what they were doing. Now, so here in John chapter 12, A, the disciples didn't understand. They just didn't understand what was happening. Verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave, all the Jewish witnesses that were there, and out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. So all of these people, the Jewish people that were there when Lazarus was risen, Lazarus come forth, all these Jewish people are mixing among all those thousands of people. They're mixing among them. And they said, yeah, I was there, I saw it. I'm a witness, I saw it. So everyone's got it. And that's why they're moved. Verse 18. For this cause the people also met him, For that when they heard that he had done this miracle, and they were all excited. That's what was triggering it. Wow, brought someone back from the dead. Verse 19, and the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? We don't you understand? There's nothing we can do. What can we do? How do we stop this crowd? How do we stop the hysteria? How do we stop the movement? We should have done, say it another way, we should have killed them earlier. It's too late. Look at the crowd. We should have got them when we were talking about it. Now look what happened. Thus, verse 19, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. What are we going to do? So you can't kill him yet. Nope. So day 1, 2, 3, 4, till the sixth day, then we can kill him. But we can't do a thing. Every day he's coming into the city and doing all kinds of things. He turns the temple upside down, turns the temple inside out, upside down. They had made his house of prayer desolate, a disgrace. Now, in the light of that, so now, having said that, so here he is on the donkey, coming in for peace. He's most wanted, they want to kill him, want to kill Lazarus. They want to kill him, but they can't kill him. The world is, they can't do a thing about it now. And he's coming in a very public way. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows he's there. The King, the Messiah, is coming in. He's coming in, and they're all shouting and knowing and excited. No question. You know what? It won't be very long. In a handful of days, they're all going to turn around and yell, crucify him. Not just the leadership, the people that are now applauding are going to yell, crucify him. What do you think of that? In just a handful of days. How long did it take? Not long. Crowds, don't trust them. Don't trust the crowd. Now, so in the light of that, in John chapter 12, in that, God, you're going to show yourself. I am. And I want you to know that I am the risen Christ. And by the way, I am king. Now, you understand that I'm king. Do you know what? After I was born, the wise men, Gentiles, came all the way from Babylon area, Euphrates River, came all the way over. They took a long time, took them 2 years, to travel all the way over to what? And to come. We are wise men from the east, and we have come to see him who is King of the Jews. The little babe, who's a little boy now, we have come to see the King of the Jews. The baptism, this is my beloved son. Temptation, each time, a dramatic moment. At the Mount of Transfiguration, he was transformed as the sun shining. And now, above it all, he enters the city, riding on the colt, the foal of an ass, on a little donkey. He rides in as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. We read it in Psalm 24. Who is the King of Glory? Lord, thou art the King of Glory. Wow. Now, in the light of that, in the light of his wonderful, wonderful thing, this kingship, his wonderful thing, when you receive him as your Savior, and you open the door of your life and heart, receive him into your life, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, open your heart. I need your permission. I need to come in. So when you open the door, you open the door and I'm coming in. And I'm going to save you. Wow. And you know why? Because I died for you and I rose again. And I want you to understand that I died for you. And I'm telling you right now, we're in his presence. Telling you, when you open the door, I'm coming in. But you died. Aha! Do you understand? When I died, I rose again. And therefore, I'm able to say to you right now, open that door and I'll come in. When I receive him as my Savior, John 10, 9 and 10, I believe in mine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Aha. Wow. God. He said, I had to go to Jerusalem. The king had to be crucified. I told everybody that. Isaiah 53, etc. I told everybody. But they just didn't listen. I told them it had to be. If I don't save you, then you can't be saved. I'm the only Savior there is. I'm your Creator. I try to make it very public and plain. How plain do you want it? How clear do you want me to say it to you? Oh, if you just do it, we'll pick that up tonight. Anyway, I trust you got a little bit. God, help us. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness. And God, it's an awesome thing that you are, that you've done. God, how do we even come close? We don't. So our little bit, we just try to get a look through the window and see it. And you're here, present now, to help us understand that you did what you did, when you did it, how you did it. And God, the benefit of all of that is that we are in your presence in a very gracious, we are in your presence in a saving and safe way. God, thank you very, very much. So deal with us and those who know you not as Lord and Savior. Convince them. And our God, we're going to thank you for all of it. Thank you, God, for making it simple, simple, simple. That which is awesomely profound, wonderfully simple. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. Perhaps we can sing, please. Stanza. In 365. 365.